There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold.
You're listening to Step Into the Light with Patty Sheen.
Who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home.
This is the show where Christians share their walk from darkness down a sometimes long and lonely path to the light of healing and fulfillment through faith.
Seek out the hopeless, confused and torn, and hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world.
Right here. On Blog Talk Radio.
Take your candle and go light your world.
Good morning and welcome to this 23rd episode of Step Into the Light on Tuesday morning, February 16th. Thank you for listening. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. On this show, we talk about the shadows that creep across the paths of our lives at one time or another in the form of such difficult circumstances as abuse, divorce, addiction, fear, debt, heartbreak, guilt, loss of a loved one, and rejection. Conversely, my guests shed light on those dark times with messages of hope, healing, success, perseverance, faith, and love. In case you can't stay with us for our entire hour this morning, I would like to let you know where you can find the show again. I have a website, and it is Patty Sheen. I'll spell that for you, PattiSheen.com. If you go to that website, you will find on the very first page the name of my guest, and if you click on there, it's a link, and that will take you directly to the show. I also have a Blog Talk Radio tab on the website, and on there I have a Show of the Week page, which also has a link to this week's show. However, if a week goes by and you're not able to listen within that period of time, I also have an archived page underneath the Blog Talk Radio tab, and there you will find all of the shows that we have recorded so far and a link to each one of them. So we hope you come back and find us if you can't stay with us this morning. Also, I have a Step Into the Light Facebook page. I'd love to have you come over and like that page, and I'd like to have you follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Patty Sheen. I also have a Pinterest board. One of the boards that I have within Pinterest is a Step Into the Light board, and I put pictures of my guests on there, and if they have books or whatever, I go ahead and put that on as well. Well, we just celebrated Valentine's Day a couple of days ago. I hope that everyone had a nice one. Valentine's Day holds kind of a bittersweet feelings for me because it is the day that my dad passed, been 20 years now. And prior to his passing in 1996, he came out to visit my family and I. We have a, well, back then it wasn't, but now it is a state park. It's John Martin Reservoir State Park, and there's a big dam there that you can cross and look out over the John Martin. And that's one of the last places that Dad and I spent some time alone together out here. So every year, weather permitting, I make a trip out there. It's only about 15 miles east of here. I make a trip out there, and I cross the dam, and I stop in the middle and usually take a couple pictures and just reflect on Dad. Yesterday, I went out there, and I was unable to get across the dam because for some reason they have it blocked off now. They have for quite some time, and I'm not quite sure what the reason is. But anyway, I went ahead and drove through the park, and as I was coming out of the park, there was, thank goodness I was only traveling at about 25 miles per hour, because suddenly this white-tailed deer ran right in front of my car, and I stopped, never thinking that I would be fortunate enough to get a photo. However, as it turned out, he was standing right there, and there was also another one, so I got pictures of the two deer. And then, as I was leaving the park, there was this incredibly beautiful sunset. So I stopped and took a few pictures of that. I'll put them on my Step Into the Light Facebook page so you can come on over and check them out. Well, it is time to introduce our guest. Dr. Harold L. Arnold Jr. is a social and organizational psychologist who specializes in developing family-focused culture in homes, places of worship, and business settings, and is the founder of The Pursuit of Influence. Dr. Harold is a leadership enthusiast who relishes empowering leaders to maximum influence through his weekly Leading Your Home podcast, blogging at haroldarnold.com, and numerous workshops. Armed with biblical principles, psychological insights, and entertaining stories, Dr. Harold guides his audiences on a journey to discover faith and purpose through committed relationships. Dr. Harold is author of 3 marriage books and 1 leadership development book, including his soon-to-be-released Second Shift, How to Grow Your Part-Time Passion to Full-Time Influence. If you have wondered how you can be a positive influence on your spouse, your kids, and others around you, you'll want to stay right here at Step Into the Light on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, Harold.
Patty, it is so wonderful to be with you and your audience. Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
I'm so excited to have you here, Harold. It was such a pleasure to meet you back in Philadelphia, and we've been trying to arrange a time ever since when I could bring you on the show, and I'm so glad we were finally able to get things organized and have you here with us this morning.
Yes,
Harold,
likewise.
I apologize for the slight interruption there, Harold. I mentioned in your introduction that you are well-educated in the areas of family and team and organization building. You use podcasting and blogging and workshops to teach your audiences. One of the things that interests me about my guests is the question of what kind of childhood influences do you believe led you to the point where you are now?
Childhood
influences.
Wow. Well, I'm a PK. I'm a pastor's kid, and and all that entails. And I was raised in the church, and that certainly has played a significant role in my own my own values and the things that I want to do with my life and be pleasing to the Lord and to raise children that are that seek to do the Lord's will with a spirit of excellence and to the relationship with my wife to be one that is God honoring. So that has definitely been a big factor. The other thing that's been a big factor is my parents, and even though they are both very devout and committed people of faith and Christians, and they struggled in their marriage for many years, and some of that struggle I lived with, and it definitely had an impact on me as a kid. And so as I embarked on this whole journey for doing marriage and family therapy and learning how to have better family systems, certainly some aspect of my own challenges in my family of origin and with my parents' marriage played a significant role in there. And the books that I've written now on marriage, a key driver, a key motivator of those was my own experience at home. And so my prayer is that those books, the seminars, the workshops, the podcasts, the Periscopes, all the things that I do in putting my voice out there, my prayer is that God will use that to really improve the conditions in the homes of people so that, the children don't have to deal with some of the things I had to deal with, and that parents can, be stronger as a couple, as an executive subsystem, as we call it in psychology. I believe it all ties together in a number of different ways.
Talking with pastors and those who are part of a pastoral family is always interesting. In fact, last week my guest was a lady whose husband had been a pastor for the past several years, and we talked about the fact that pastors and their families so often live in a fishbowl. Seems like everybody expects their life to be perfect, their marriage to be perfect, their kids to be the model kids of the neighborhood, and people forget that pastors are human beings too.
Right. And yeah, that's the key, right? I mean, because everyone is watching you when you're the first family, and you know, your mistakes are magnified. And, you know, the reality is that your good things are magnified, too, more than they should be oftentimes. But certainly the mistakes are magnified and you're held to a different standard. And the any, you know, slip ups of the children are often attributed, you know, to the parents. And so oftentimes the parents who are ministers, pastors, you know, can be quite, you know, punitive themselves in order to prevent those type of things from happening. So yeah, it definitely can be a fishbowl. I think the big point that's so important is, and what I encourage ministry leaders is, don't let people put you on a pedestal, because I believe that we have some control of that. You know, if we don't encourage people to think of us in our humanity, if we don't put out there the things that we struggle with, if we don't put out there our own failings and shortcomings, then that fosters the problem. It allows people to put us up on that pedestal, that proverbial pedestal. And but I think one of the ways to circumvent or at least minimize some of that is to basically be authentic and share, you know, share what those challenges and things are. And I believe what that does is it helps other people to identify with you. You know, I'm not saying that you hang all your dirty laundry out. I'm not saying that. Sure. But there is a middle ground where we can be very, we can be vulnerable and authentic about, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I believe it diminishes some of that fishbowl. Will that turn some people off? You know, will that make some people leave the church? That's your church? Maybe. But I believe that sacrifice is worth it in the spirit of authenticity.
Harold, you are way out in front of me in that you are approaching your 100th podcast under the name of Leading You Home, LYH. One of your main topics of focus in your podcast is marriage, and sadly, this holy relationship is not viewed with the reverence and respect that it used to be. What would you say to help young people see the value and the importance of marriage as a key element of the family unit?
Yeah, well, thank you for that. As far as the Leading You Home podcast, definitely excited and proud of that, what that has evolved into, and approaching that 100th episode. That is a major milestone for me, and 100 consecutive weeks of doing that, even, you know, through thick and through thin. It's a challenge, and so, you know, I certainly feel a sense of satisfaction with, you know, getting to this point and continuing to ask the Lord really to give wisdom and discernment about what that show needs to be to be most God-honoring. As it pertains, you know, and certainly one of the topics, you know, we deal with things of leadership, and we deal with a lot of aspects of relationship building in general, and obviously one of that those aspects is marriage. And yes, you're right. There is a lot of challenges that marriages, young and old, are facing. As far as helping folks to see the value and importance of it, I think, you know, there you can look at it from multiple angles. You can look at it from a purely secular perspective and understand all the research data show that the value and the benefit, whether those are mental, psychological benefits, that, or whether it's financial benefits or whether it's child welfare benefits, all of those things point to marriage as being a better improvement on society relative to not being married. So those are the metrics all kind of point in the direction, pro-marriage direction, when you look at it from a research perspective. But, you know, most people don't particularly care about the research perspective of it. They care about their own felt experience. And I think, you know, what's important is, you know, when you're in that relationship, you know, how does it become that dream, you know, that you had? How does it become that, you know, thing that really makes you feel satisfied and cared for and nurtured, that gives you that sense of security? And the key is, it is work. It takes a lot of work, and it takes diligence, and it takes grace. And so what I would say to folks to see the value is, you know, to think about what are you willing to do to be all that God has for you to be? You know, if that was the question that was posed to you, what are you willing to do to, you know, to be all that God has for you to be? And if you're married, part of that question, the answer to that question, is interwoven with that. It's about, because your spouse is integral to you becoming who God has for you to be. And that, and the main reason that that's the case is because they are probably pretty different than you are. And while those differences aggravate you often, much of the time, get on your last nerve, the reality is that those differences are important because, much like, you know, sand is to the oyster, and the friction creating a pearl, such are the differences in marriage. And so when you have those differences that cause the friction in your own relationship, when you have those conflicts, when you have, you know, those differing points of view, all of those things, when handled well, are part of a formation, a formative process, a spiritually formative process that grows you to be more like what God has for you to be. And so if the Lord himself asks you, do you want to be more like me, and you're married, and you say yes, well, your marriage is part of that that equation, that what God uses in order for that shaping process. So that would be my admonition. It would be to encourage people to, you know, really yield to what God has for you and see those challenges in your marriage not as proof that you shouldn't have gotten married in the first place, not as, you know, not something to be, you know, to kind of see as the demise of your relationship, but rather see it as that challenge for you to push out of your comfort zone and become something more aligned with what God has you to be.
That puts the entire concept of marriage into a wonderful and enlightening perspective, Harold. Thank you for that. I've had the opportunity to listen to some of your podcasts, not as many as I'd like to because there never seems to be enough time, but I have looked at several of the titles. And another issue you deal with is parenting. As you well know, parents today have an uphill battle keeping the influences in the home from being undermined by the overwhelming negative exposure kids get at school, on social media, through music, TV, it goes on and on. What do you recommend to put parents ahead of the game in keeping their kids on the right track?
Yeah, and you're right. It is a challenge, and it does often feel like an uphill battle because there's so many conflicting forces that your children are exposed to. I think the thing that I would most advise parents is, one, to stay engaged and pay attention. And I think that those, and obviously this is age, you know, based, right? So
sure.
That means looks different depending on the age of your children. Now, me, my wife and I, we have two children, a son and a daughter. Our son is 24. He's, you know, finishing up grad school right now. And my daughter is 18, and she's finishing up high school. So my kids are adults now. But I think one of our things that we've mostly done well is really paying attention to what's going on with our children. You know, ask questions and don't refuse to take fine, nothing for an answer. And while, you know, they go through those periods, especially those puberty years, adolescent years, they go through those periods where, you know, they are often not the most pleasant people to be around.
Or the most communicative.
Yeah, exactly. but, you know, staying in tune, staying in touch, asking questions, and, you know, not just making assumptions. I think sometimes we don't want to ask our kids certain questions because we don't want to hear the answer as parents. Much easier to keep our head in the sand and act like stuff, you know, isn't going on rather than ask some questions or, you know, look in. And, you know, parents have different positions. I tend to be of I tend to be pretty hands-on as a parent. And, you know, so what that means, what that looks like, you know, I know my kids' teachers. I know my kids' grades. I know, you know, I have no problem hopping on their computer, which I will have the password to. I have no problem, you know, if I need to look on their phone, I have no problem with that because when they're kids, now they're older, it's
sure.
different. But when they were younger, growing up, you know, we give them certain parameters. And I think the research literature will confirm that children work best when there are clear and clear parameters, clear boundaries. And I think that's one of the things that parents really struggle with. And much of that struggle is because we're so busy. Parents are so busy with their own either jobs and ministries, or sometimes it's the challenges, like I told you about the challenges of my parents when I was growing up. Sometimes the relationship between the parents is so challenged that it's hard to really take a unified approach to paying attention to the kids. So as far as what I recommend to parents to get ahead of the game, I would say to one, you know, obviously I come from a faith-based perspective, and so it's to instill the fear of the Lord in them and to have to, at a young age, and not just what you say with children, it isn't as much what you say as what you do, you know. And so a lot of times we parents will say stuff, but then our behavior doesn't model that. So it's about modeling Christ in front of them consistently over time, and that is going to most, you know, bring them into that fold. That's part of it. The other is paying attention to the details, asking the questions, and keep asking and keep asking. And letting them know that you're not going away and you're not going to stop asking these questions. So, you know, I think those two things, and of course, you know, showing a unconditional a love for your kids, and that has to be, when you say that, it has to be idiosyncratic. It's got to be specific to the different kid. I think one thing that parents struggle with sometimes, we kind of have our parenting, we take a one-size-fits-all parenting approach, but yet, you know, the Bible says train up your child in the way he should go. And I think what we often have historically interpreted that as, you know, we'll train them all up to, you know, be Christ followers. Well, that's true, but I think if we look at that scripture more carefully, it's saying train up that, it would be interpreted as train up that child in the way that child should go. Okay, if you have multiple children, well, that's going to look different for different ones. And so it isn't just about having a one-size-fits-all approach to parenting. It's really having a level of attentiveness and listening and valuing the unique gifts of the child. You know, maybe some children are very articulate and charismatic, but other children are more artistic or introverted or whatever, and you can't, you know, value one of those, you know, act characteristics or personality profiles, pardon me, more than the other. And so all you need, your children need to all feel loved equally. They don't have to feel, you don't have to treat them equally. You just have to love them equally.
Exactly. I will tell you something comical. Yeah, I will tell you something. It sure does, Harold. I will tell you something a little comical about that scripture, though. I had a very dear friend who was a pastor, a female friend of mine who was a pastor for many years, and she has since passed. But we used to be really, really close friends. And I was talking to her one time about an issue I was concerned with my kids as they were growing up. And I said, doesn't the Bible say train up a child in the way he should go? And she says, yeah, but get, it says, and when they are old, they will not depart. It may be a little wayward on the way.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. Yeah, it doesn't promise you that it's peaches and cream all along the way.
Exactly.
But it does give you some level of comfort that, you know, there's a strong end game. There's a strong story, you know, and as they get older, that they will appreciate and value and give that attribution to God.
Yes. Yes. Well, Harold, with about, oh, let's say 2.5 minutes here to break, you founded the organization, The Pursuit of Influence. Could you give us an overview of how each of us, no matter how ordinary we may perceive ourselves, can expand our influence and who to?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, the pursuit of influence. I love the word influence. And if you look at the etymology of that word, it actually means to flow into. And I find that so powerful because God has put all of us here to flow into others. In other words, what he's deposited in you, how does that flow from you and impact the lives of others? And so that, in that sense, everyone is an influencer. And so the pursuit of influence connotes that aspect, that it's a process, it's progress. It's not binary, either you're influential or you're not. You know, it's a progression, and it's an intentionality to that pursuit. And so all of us have to ask ourselves, you know, are we pursuing all of that God has for us? And so there's no such thing as ordinary. How do you expand that influence? It's really, well, what is in you flows out. That means you have to work on what is in you. You know, how do you enhance, how do you increase the knowledge, the wisdom, the insight, you know, the character? How do you increase all of that that is within you so that it can flow out to others?
Very good. I love that word influence, too, because it's a very powerful word. We're going to go to a short break right now for our listeners. If any of you came into the show just now and are wondering who you're listening to, you're listening to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is Dr. Harold Arnold, Jr. We've been talking about parenting. We've been talking about marriage. Dr. Arnold has a couple of books that are either out or in the process of being out, so we will discuss them when we return from the break. Our break is about 3.5 minutes. If our listeners would like to listen, we'd love to have you listen to our ads, or if you want to go grab a cup of coffee or whatever, about 3.5 minutes from now. Come on back.
Are you fighting what seems to be a never-ending battle to take off excess pounds? Have you tried diet after diet, resolved to banish the sweets and starches from your life forever, and fervently prayed for willpower? Author Janet K. Brown let God do the fighting for her, and she won with a 95-pound weight loss that she has maintained for close to 20 years. Now, Janet shares the lessons she learned with her devotional entitled Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness. Allow yourself to be guided through your weight journey with these practical and inspirational daily readings grounded in Scripture, illustrated with many of Janet's own experiences, and reinforced with a short prayer. This toolbox for overeaters combines a 12-step approach with a focus on the need for Christ as the center of your struggle. Janet's passion for diet, fitness, and God's Word holds the hope for you to achieve success as you strive to make choices that will lead to lasting lifestyle changes. Divine Dining, 365 Devotions to Guide You to Healthier Weight and Abundant Wellness by Janet K. Brown is available at Penn L. Publishing, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. Planning a trip to Colorado this year? 80 miles southeast of Pueblo on Highway 50, you'll find the town of Los Animas, where rich early 1900s American history is preserved within the walls of the John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum. Since the opening of the new museum in May of 2012, the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County is proud of the accomplishments of its all-volunteer team. Exhibits depict life on the plains in the early 1900s through the replication of home and business structures and possessions of such historical figures as John W. and Dorothy Hogue Rawlings, Kit Carson, Ambassador Thompson, and Ken Curtis, who played Festus Hagen on the long-running western Gunsmoke. Artifacts depict the life of the Native American, rancher, and farmer, and showcase tools of such professions as the cobbler, railroad worker, medical professional, and military. The Grand Hall on the second floor includes several quilt exhibits and an independent order of Oddfellows exhibit. The Old Trail Gallery features unique gifts made by local artists and historical publications of the Pioneer Historical Society of Bent County, such as the Bent County Chronicle. The John W. Rawlings Heritage Center and Museum holds a treasure trove of information for any history buff or historical author interested in events that unfolded in southeastern Colorado in the early 1900s. Located at 560 Bent Avenue in Los Animas, the museum is open Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. Cost of admission is $5 for adults, $4 for children, 6 to 12, with free parking available on site. For further information, contact them at 719-456-6066. If you drop by, be sure to tell them Patty Sheen of Step Into the Light sent you. Would you like an ad for your business, new book, or other product broadcast on Step Into the Light? Contact Patty Sheen at patty.sheen@gmail.com. That's patti.sheen@gmail.com. Now it's time to return to our show. Welcome back to Step Into the Light right here on Blog Talk Radio with Patty Sheen. Our guest today is Dr. Harold Arnold. Harold and I, as I mentioned earlier before our break, have been talking about his podcasts, Leading You Home, where he addresses parenting, marriage, leadership, and other topics that can help you with your pursuit of influence. Dr. Arnold can be found online, and I'd like to let you know where you can find him. His website is entitled pursuitofinfluence.com, or also haroldarnold.com will get you there. He can be found on Facebook. He has a Twitter account with the same name, and he has several other social media venues as well. I'm going to direct you to my website again, which is pattisheene.com. On that website, under the Blog Talk Radio tab, you will find a page entitled Website and Social Media Information. There you will find links to all of our guests who have been on the show. Harold, as I mentioned in my introduction, each of us at one time or another experiences shadows that cross our path, whether in the form of loss, depression, discouragement, frustration, etc. Would you share with listeners a time when you encountered darkness on your life journey and how you found your way back to light?
Yeah, that's a really profound question. Let me say before I dive into my own, when we talk about, you know, the darkness and all of those, I have a term that I call them in several of my writings and podcasting. I talk about them as the dragons. And the dragons are pernicious. They are our adversary, as Peter calls them in the New Testament, the enemy of the Lord. The dragons, that's an acronym for doubt, regret, apathy, guilt, obstinance, narcissism, and scarcity. And they are collectively legion. And, you know, they are not of God for the most part, certainly when they take us down a dark path. And so much of what I talk about is really how do we keep those dragons at bay? And so in my own journey, there's a couple of periods that come that most I think of most readily when I think about dark periods. One I alluded to earlier, it's when I was a kid, and you know, I think largely because my parents struggled so much, and I was the only male, certainly the only biological male child. My parents did have foster children around part of my childhood, but I was the only biological child, and I was the eldest of my two siblings. And, you know, it was a lot of my mother's frustration with my father was taken out on me, So I was not a very pleasant child, Patty. It was a pretty difficult. It was a pretty difficult time, and you know, I remember a lot of times just feeling very rejected and unloved. And you know, thankfully, my mom's mom, my grandmother, lived on the same street as we did, and I think of her as my in some ways she was my savior with a small s. You know, she always made me feel very much cared for and loved and appreciated. And so I think I dread to even consider what I would be like, would have been like as an adult had it not been for my grandmother, who was that light for me. And so that was certainly one period. And, you know, I remember I was just thinking last night when I was listening to it's actually a YouTube video of a song of a family just singing a hymn. But they were so engrossed and passionate in their worship. And it really brought back these memories for me as a kid. And I used to play the piano. I actually played the piano for my dad's church. And, you know, I remember there were days when I would just sit at the piano and just play hymns over. It might be the same hymn, Patty. I would play it over and over and over and over. And, you know, it was, you know, it brings, you know, makes me teary-eyed sometimes even thinking about it because, you know, even in the midst of, you know, very challenging circumstances there and those feelings of rejection, you know, it was somehow those hymns connected me to the Father. Those hymns made me feel I belonged, you know. It made me feel like I was important to God, you know. And so, you know, so in one sense, my grandmother played, you know, that was that light for me. And in another way, those hymns and having that connection to the Lord was a light for me as a child. As an adult, I think that a couple years ago, in fact, you know, I was really struggling with just this sense of, you know, purpose and, you know, how to take it to the next level and really praying for a breakthrough. And, you know, I went on this, you know, I was, you know, nights when I would stand in the shower crying, literally, what, you know, is this what this has been all about, all of this, and as hard as I've worked at this and that, you know, it just felt like everything was not coming together. And, and, you know, it just, you start to question everything. And, you know, I went on I was invited to speak at a retreat, a marriage retreat in Jamaica. And so my wife and I
wow.
went down there, and we weren't the only speakers. There was others. And this one of the speakers on the last day gave this, you know, he asked this question, you know, how desperate are you? And he was talking really in the context of your marriage, you know, how desperate are you for a great marriage? But as I was listening to him, Patty, I was thinking, how desperate are you for that breakthrough? And so I on the plane, on the plane ride back, you know, I basically committed myself to a fast. It's a vegetarian. I'm a Southern boy, Patty. I'm a meat eater. And and on that plane ride, the Lord just really convicted my spirit. And I just felt I was going to go on a fast and become a vegetarian until, you know, one of my Jacob moments where I was like, you know, I'm not going to let go till you bless me, you know, until I get my breakthrough. And so literally, Patty, for 1 year, I was a vegetarian. And a lot of that, that was what preceded my podcasting, blogging. All of this stuff was on the other side of that fast. And so how I saw the light in that, I think in many ways it ties back to that kid at that piano and really feeling a sense of the Holy Spirit's presence and leading. And you know, for me, that's been kind of that light that has kind of kept me encouraged, kept me moving forward, and was that salve for me, you know, when I've been in some of those difficult places.
Wow, I think it's fascinating, Harold, that you would do that. I don't know that I would have the whatever it takes to give up my meat. I love my red meat, boy, and I like
well,
it as,
I
like
too,
I tell them in the restaurants,
I
like
more,
it.
You know?
Yeah, I like it as rare as the law allows, I tell them. Of course, when the big E. coli scare came out, you know. Harold, I was fortunate enough, well, actually, any listener who would like to be able to download your ebook from your website, and it's entitled 10 Proven Steps to Extraordinary Influence. I downloaded it how long ago, and it was one of those things that I said, someday I'll get to read this. And when I knew you were coming on the show, I took a look at it, and I didn't realize it.
I mean, it's, yeah, probably.
But it is packed with information. So I would advise our listeners to go to Harold's website and download this book. But you have a quote in there that I, if you don't mind, I'll take the liberty of sharing.
Sure.
And it says, plan and execute with a spirit of excellence, but be aware that you need to release, not control, the outputs. Elaborate on that point for us.
Yeah, well, thank you for referencing that. Yeah, and it is a free resource. I've gotten a lot of compliments on that resource from people. And so, yeah, at HaroldArnold.com, you can just go there and get your own copy. But that is a really instrumental principle of, you know, one, spirit of excellence, because we are co-creators with God. And I believe that He calls us to do what He calls us to do. He expects us to do it with a spirit of excellence as an ambassador of Him. You know, if you had somebody, Patty, that represented you, that was an ambassador for you, you would want them to do, you know, represent you well, right? If I have someone who is an ambassador for me, I want them to represent me well. And we, as ambassadors for the Lord, our duty is to represent Him well. And so a spirit of excellence to me is a requirement in order to is a means of stewardship. That requires commitment. That requires dutifulness. It requires us putting our best foot forward. But here's the thing: what we are responsible for is putting in everything that we can into the input, or our side of that ledger of what our what is in our hands, what we can really control. Do the best that you can with that. The thing where we have to be willing to see the line is we can't control everything that happens. We can't control everything that happens with our children. We can't control everything that happens with our spouse. We can't control everything that happens on our jobs. We can't, the more we think about it, we'll realize that there's very little actually that we can control, you know, relatively speaking. But there are some things that we have complete control over. And, you know, so for me, a spirit of excellence is being, is understanding that, yes, those things that I can control, I'm going to do those as unto the Lord. But I'm also going to be willing to be open to understanding that I can't control everything or everybody. And, you know, that people are going to make decisions that influence, that impact me. And I can worry myself into a tizzy, into a frenzy, have an anxiety and panic attack if I want to, but I'm not going to control the outputs. And we might try to manipulate people. We might try to manipulate circumstances. You know, maybe sometimes we have a modicum of success, but oftentimes those we're just more frustrated. And, you know, I think it's matched spiritual maturity is getting to the point where we understand that we have to do the best that we can do, and then we have to leave this in God's hands and be content, you know, and be okay with where he takes it and or he allows it to go.
Well, that point really hit home with me when I read it. And another point, of course, I'd love to discuss all 12, but we don't have time for that. But another point that I really would like to explore with you further, Harold, or have you elaborate to our listeners, talk about the reason why it is important for us to spend time with people who have achieved far more than we have. You talk about us within a group of people being at average.
Right, right. Well, there's this famous Jim Rohn quote that you hear all the time. That we are the average of the five people that we spend the most time with. And I find that pretty profound. So if you look around, who is your fave five? You know, who are those five people that you spend your most time with? And, you know, in when it comes to your passions, the things that God's put inside you, you know, where are those people relative to those things, you know? And you know, I think it's so important that we realize that we need to oftentimes raise our average. You know, if you think about, you know, from an academic perspective, you know, well, how do you raise your GPA? Well, you got to start doing better in some of these classes that you're taking. Well, we need to think about some of our relationships that way as well. We really need, and you know, it's not to be disparaging or pejorative or any of that to any of the people that we are acquaintances, but sometimes we need to change our circle, you know. And here's an important principle that I've discovered, Patty, is A-level people recruit and hang around A-level people because they want people who push them to, they want to be pushed to that next level. They, you know, whatever it takes. B-level people want C and D-level people around them. Interesting. Why? Well, because
nobody's
going to
push them to anything.
Yeah, yeah. They feel threatened, and they want to be head honcho. They don't want the criticism, you know, and so we each have to ask ourselves, are we an A-level person or a B-level? You know, who are we surrounding ourselves with? And, you know, I made a conscious decision that I needed to change the people that I was spending the most time with. It's not that the people that I was hanging around with are bad people. It's not that, you know, I couldn't learn some things from them and I couldn't fellowship with them. It's not any of that. But if I wanted to maximize the relationships and influence that God has me here to do, I really need to be associating with a different type of person, people who are pursuing certain types of things. And, you know, people can get a little uncomfortable when you start talking this way, but, you know, I 100% believe that all of us need to do an assessment of our circle and see, you know, is our circle pushing us up to our next level, or is it pulling
us down?
Because we're never stay. I don't believe that any of us are staying the same. We're either moving up or we're drifting down. And so we have to look at our circle and see, how are they contributing to that? And how are we contributing to theirs? Are we pushing them up? Are we dragging them down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that concept. I thought it was really interesting. And I'm, of course, it was kind of reemphasized for me because I took your class over there at the Philadelphia Writers Conference, and you brought up some of those points back there too. Well, Harry, you have reached a very exciting time in that you are in the process of releasing your book, Second Shift, and I've kind of followed that on Facebook, and I made a selection for your cover, even though my selection was chosen that day. Okay. But anyway, now that the cover is out, I think it's great. But you are in the process of releasing the book. The title is Second Shift. Who is your target audience and what is your message?
Yeah, well, thank you. Second Shift. Let me say the subtitle, too, because I think that'll help your listeners really get a sense of where we're going with it. Second Shift, How to Grow Your Part-Time Passion to Full-Time Influence. So there you see that word.
That makes a big difference.
Yeah. And so, you know, I was actually having a conversation with a dear friend today, and she made this statement where she's like, I don't do the second shift. And I'm like, well, really, you tell me what you think the second shift means. And so I ended up in helping her to understand, look, the second shift is all of those folks, and I call a second shift nation, who pursue what God has the passions that he's put inside of. It's not the primary thing that we do in our day as far as the time we spend. We might have jobs that we have to go to for, you know, 6 to 12 hours. We may have children that we have to raise, we might be homeschooling them. Well, for some people, that might be part of their passion. Their passion might be in, you know, raising their children, homeschooling their children. That's great. But the point here is that there are many of us that have these passions that God has put in us and stirred up that we do not pursue as the primary duty of our day. And we have to do these things on what I call the second shift. And I came to this notion of the second shift a couple of years ago as I thought about all of the things that I have done in those part-time margins of my life, whether it's going to grad school once and again, and whether it's serving as director of Christian education for a large church, whether it's been doing lay counseling, you know, whether it's been serving at a crisis pregnancy center, teaching moms technology skills, whether it's been doing, I could go on. There's a litany of things but these are all things that I did in the part-time margins of life. They weren't my primary job that I do from, you know, 8 to 5, 6 o'clock. And so as I think about those things, though, you know, those things are closer to my heart. Those things are the things that make me tick. Those things are the things that time feels like it flies when I'm doing them, you know, that I enjoy. They capture my heart. I call it my passion portfolio. But all of them are on the second shift. And by giving it that language, by calling it that, it gave a sense of structure to it, a sense of formality to it, that it's not just haphazard, it's not catch-as-catch-can, but it is something systematic, you know, that I'm working a process, and there are goals that I have, and much like you might think of on your first shift, and, you know, you might have objectives and goals and things of that nature, but the question all of us have to ask is, do we have those goals for our second shift, for those passions in our life, those things, those embers that are burning within you? Do you have a strategy for bringing those things to life? Do you have a plan for executing those things that God has put in your hand? If you think of that parable of the talents, and, you know, 5, 2, or 1, how many talents did the master leave you, and what are you doing with them? And what I would like to suggest is the second shift is a strategy for really relationship building in order to maximize what we do with those talents, so that when the master returns, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I want to make you ruler over many. That is ultimately the message of second shift, and it's based on kind of a tripartite model of listening, loving, and leading. And as we learn to do each of those things better, and those are, you know, broken down to be very pragmatic, given very pragmatic solutions, we can learn to really connect with people in a way that elevates. You know, elevates God, you know, in their lives, and of course, it's spiritually formative in our own lives as well. So that's the big nutshell for Second Shift.
Well, I can't wait to read it. I'm really excited.
Well, thank you. And you know, we're launching it soon, and I thank you for being. You're actually part of the launch team.
And
so actually those who are interested in that message and wanting to help spread that message, they're welcome to be part of the launch team as well. And when you are part of the launch team, you actually get access to an electronic copy of the book even in advance of the release, that you can take a look at and help spread the word about it. So I'd encourage your listeners, if that second shift message resonates with you, then definitely reach out to me on Facebook at H.L. Arnold or Twitter at Dr. Harold Arnold. Most of those, so Instagram or, you know, any of those things. And I'm pretty easy to find. So would love to tell you more about it.
Well, wonderful. Yeah, you sent me my download last night. I just haven't had a chance to look at it yet. So I'm really excited to read it, Harold. Well, this is the only part of the show that I do not like, and that's when I have to tell my guests that we are just about out of time. If I could, I would keep you talking for another 45 minutes, Harold, but...
But you're certainly engaging, and there's certainly a lot to talk about. Certainly as far as Second Shift is concerned, I encourage your listeners that soon the book website will be up too at secondshiftbook.com, and you can find more information there. And, of course, as Patty said earlier, you can find me at haroldarnold.com. And there's a lot of stuff out there that I've written or that I'm talking about on the Leading You Home podcast. You can find that on iTunes and engage that way. And, I'm Periscope, doing Periscopes these days, and so you can jump on there and we can chat. So there's all kind of ways for us to keep the conversation going, and I certainly would enjoy that.
That's wonderful, and I would like to remind listeners also to go to pattysheen.com, and that's where I will have the links to Harold's website and to his social media venues available, so that'll make it kind of easy for folks. And I just love your website too, Harold, because not only do you have your podcasts on there, but you just have a wealth of information that people can use in the event they don't get a chance to listen to the podcast even. You just have all kinds of really neat resource information on there. So I want to encourage our listeners to please follow up with Harold and take a look at some of the wonderful resources that he has to offer. Well, Harold, it's been wonderful having you here. I want to thank you ever so much for your time. Very much enjoyed talking with you.
Yes, and it was so fun, Patty. Thank you so much for having me, and I certainly wish God's richest blessings on you and your listeners as well. You know, all things in his service.
Well, the same with you, Harold. May God bless you richly. You're doing a wonderful, wonderful work, and it's been a pure pleasure to spend time with you here over the airwaves, and I'm sure our listeners have enjoyed it and gotten a lot out of it as well. To our listeners, I'd like to remind you to tune in again next week, which would be the 23rd of February, Tuesday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Daylight Time, or excuse me, still Mountain Standard Time, and we'll have another show for you then. And if you can't listen to the live show, all of the shows are archived. So to our listeners and to Harold, God bless you.
God bless you, Patty. Be blessed.
In final closing, when you look back on the dark periods in your life, you may find they were not quite as dark as they seemed at the time. And when the light does shine again, it is so much brighter than you remembered. God bless you. Hope to have you back next week.